I'm Mary Walter here with Vince Colonese. And joining us right now, Ambassador Don Bolton, friend of the show. We get to talk to you in person this time, which is really fun and really nice. The only time I get to speak with you in person is at CPAC.
Right. Well, it's great to be here.
Pretty much great to have you here. Let's talk about the president and his approval rating. And the president has seen a really good bump in his numbers and his approval rating as people started to see the paychecks and they started to see those tax cuts reflected in their paychecks. Can the president and the GOP ride that bump and ride the benefits of the tax plan through the 2018 midterms?
Well, I think it's important, but it certainly won't be the only thing. I mean, amazingly, as Congress was getting close to passing the tax bill, the polls showed most people thought it was a tax increase. I mean, that's how good the Democrats' messaging was. Well, reality takes hold eventually, and I think you're quite right. That's exactly what's happening now. But there's an awful lot else that's going to happen between now in November. I actually think if you look at Senate races around the country, Republicans still stand a good chance of picking up several seats. I think the House is more difficult, but I think that the international scene is going to have a major impact as well. We know how close North Korea is to getting deliverable nuclear weapons, so once the Olympic glow is off, we're going to have to turn back to that. We just saw a week ago an Iranian drone enter Israeli airspace. This is a direct military confrontation between Iran and Israel. And there are any number of other things that are going on as well, all inherited by President Trump, but he's going to have to deal with them.
So let's talk about North Korea, since they are at the Olympics and they're making a big show of playing nice, and their cheerleaders are there, and his sister's there, and everyone is so adorable, and they're getting really great press from the Americans. Is their campaign working, this We're Wonderful campaign?
Well, they're masters at propaganda. There's no question about it. And this entire idea of the joint North and South Korean teams and the women's hockey team playing together, that kind of thing, is all propaganda. It's all intended to divert international attention from the nuclear and ballistic missile programs that are continuing. So I thought when Vice President Pence was over there, he was walking kind of a tightrope to show that we're sticking with our South Korean allies, but not to give the North Koreans the chance to expand their propaganda campaign anymore.
I want to ask you about Russia, because over the course of the past week, we've seen this debate pop out, in part because of the White House saying that that President Trump has been tougher on Russia than Barack Obama. How do you score that? And because there's been a tremendous amount of debate in the media over this, and in fact, CNN declaring it false, not true, right in their chyrons on their TV station.
Well, it's another reason not to watch CNN. Look, I think he has been tougher, but I think, honestly, Trump is tougher than Obama just by getting out of bed in the morning. I mean, it's a pretty low standard. I actually wrote a piece in The Hill on Monday where I argue that the Mueller indictments of 13 Russian individuals last Friday gives Trump a chance to pivot to be even tougher on Russia, which he needs to be. The argument that there was an effort by Russia to back his campaign, this indictment doesn't support. It's not the last word. To be sure, there's more coming. But they were intending to sow mistrust in the electorate, and they did.
Who tracks this? I mean, that sowing mistrust, I've heard people make comparisons to Pearl Harbor, to 9/11. How seriously do you take propaganda efforts by the Russian government in 2016?
I think it's very hard to tell. I think there's a lot of information that's just not public. Senator Roy Blunt, for example, pointed out that total, at least what we know, total Russian social media expenditures in the election were 0.05% of total social media expenditures combined by the Clinton and Trump campaign. So that's a pretty insignificant number. But let's not forget, Soviet or Russian efforts to undercut the American political process have been underway for a long time. Ronald Reagan's first appearance in public life, other than as an actor, was trying to prevent the communists from taking over the Screen Actors Guild, the Hollywood Union. Why were the communists doing that? They wanted to influence American public opinion. So taking control of Hollywood was the 40s and 50s thing to do. Using social media platforms is today's thing to do. Tragically, it just hasn't changed, and we need to do more to deter the Russians or anybody else from even thinking of doing doing it in the future. We've seen the cyber attacks. They're out there. They're happening. We need a much more effective strategy to deal with them.
Do you think, though, that sanctions or something along those lines would effectively deter the Russians from continuing to do this?
No, I don't think sanctions are enough, and I particularly don't think the pinprick sanctions that we've put in place or that Congress put in place are enough. You know, whenever you hear somebody talk about targeted sanctions,
yes,
think of the word limited. Sanctions are target on Mr. X and Mr. Y. That means they're limited to Mr. X and Y. You want to have sanctions have an effect, they've got to be broad and really sweeping. But I also think that when we assess the full scope of the Russian cyber interference in our election, we ought to retaliate in cyberspace too. And we shouldn't retaliate in a proportionate way. Our response should be disproportionate to impose more pain on the Russians, because that's the way you create structures of deterrence that convince them, Chinese, North Koreans, not to try
it
again.
So let's accept as true in this scenario the notion that not only did they hack Democrats and release their information, but also they bought some social media ads and tried to sow division in the United States through social media. Okay, let's just take all of that as true. What's the disproportionate response the U.S. should employ?
Well, I don't think we know publicly what the sum total of their efforts was, and obviously that's you need to know that. There needs to be a lot more public discussion of what they actually did. But there are a lot of things we can do to cause real pain inside Russia, and I think the Russian people need to appreciate how unhappy we are about this and turn their unhappiness against Vladimir Putin. It's not just in cyberspace, though. I think we need a tougher policy in the Middle East to prevent more Russian intrusion there. We need a tougher policy against the Russians in Ukraine and elsewhere in Central Europe. That's why I think this is such a potentially dispositive moment for Trump to be able to say, look at this Mueller indictment. I've said there was no collusion. I've said it was not to support me. And now he's broken the political link that the Democrats have tried to draw. You know, in a debate between liberals and conservatives over who's going to be tougher on Russia, who do you think's going to win that debate?
I want to quickly turn to Syria in this last minute we have left. This week, Assad has gone a lot stronger, and they've killed hundreds of people, children involved. What can and should the United States be doing at this moment?
Well, look, I think we've just demonstrated that we're still involved in that conflict with repelling the attack of the Syrian government a few weeks ago, perhaps, depending on who you look at, killing as many as 300 Russian,
yes,
quote-unquote, mercenaries. These weren't mercenaries. Many people think they were involved in the military activity in Ukraine. So I think it's got to be clear, not just to Russia, but to Iran, which opens up a whole different avenue, of course, what Iran's trying to do in the region with conventional forces and with nuclear weapons. We need a strong U.S. policy against this effort to establish hegemony against our interest in the Middle East.
All right. In the last 30 seconds we have left, can you tell us about the John Bolton PAC and the John Bolton Super PAC?
Well, these are efforts to support House and Senate candidates who believe in a strong national security policy. I also have a foundation, the Foundation for American Security and Freedom. In the 2016 cycle, among all three of these, we raised over $12.5 million. We're going to be very active in 2018. We've already started independent expenditures through the Super PAC on behalf of Kevin Nicholson in Wisconsin. We're going to be doing a lot more. As I said earlier, I think national security will surprise the political consultant class again and be a major issue in November.
Well, best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us.
Always glad to be with you.
Appreciate it. That's Ambassador John Bolton. It's 8:15.